There will be no personal nor direct attacks on anyone. And I would ask that you please try to keep down the loud cheering and the clapping. There will be no booing and no unruly behavior. With that,
this is painful, and it will be for a long time.
Donald Trump, baby! That's right, this man knows what's up!
This is Midday Mobile with Sean Sullivan on FM Talk 106.5.
Well, Sean's a tough guy. I mean, I think everybody knows that. You know, Sean, he took some licks. He hangs in there.
Yeah, what's wrong with the bill we got? I mean, the bill we got drank pretty good, don't it?
Did you hear what I said?
So this is a brave council. I had no doubt about them.
That doesn't suck.
If you don't like it, too bad.
Last question. Were you high on drugs?
Last question. Kiss my...
All right, here we go. FM Talk 106.5 and Midday Mobile on a Thursday. Glad to have you along. And we are live doing the show today at the Small Business Expo at the Mobile Convention Center. We'll be out here till, we'll be out here till about 3 o'clock. Show runs till 2 o'clock. And it's a good chance to get out here and visit. Not only come out to get free stuff. Stuff for your, coffee mugs, mouse pads, business cards.
Grab bags, Sean.
Grab bags of stuff.
You say
grab bag.
Grab bag of stuff.
Yes, whether you stop at the Lanyap booth or our booth or any of the other booths out here, but also a great chance to network, talk business, small business, business to business, and also find maybe some new contacts out there. So it's a great event. This is, I think our third year here or fourth year here, and digging it.
This is like our 15th year here or something
okay,
like
so
that.
Show off.
We've
that's
been
our,
here forever.
That's our buddy Rob Holbert with Lanyap.
Yeah.
Y'all are out here, and what kind of promotional item are you
See, Sean, here? I would say that your table and my table are equally bereft of of things that people actually want. You know, we're giving away the newspaper that we put out on the street already.
We already give away to people.
But you're
showing us what it would be like for home delivery, at least closer.
This is like, it's a little bit more like home delivery. You can get one right here.
Right.
It's still lukewarm from the press. And then there's also, we have a bunch of huggers, koozies, as people like to call them.
Yeah, right.
So, that's it.
I call them huggers,
I call them huggers, too, but that's an 80s thing,
because that's what we're doing here. So I've got those, But a little bit, I will say this. I mean, we have a lot to offer in information
and
entertainment.
Right.
You know,
y'all
have that. We just don't have, it looks a bit like, I'm looking at the table right now. We do have the FM Talk 106.5 huggers, but other than that, it looks like a little bit like a grocery store during perestroika, during glasnost
in
the old Soviet Union.
Right at the fall of the Soviet Union, that's like, there's like one can of sardines left and then some of these promotional materials.
But everybody else has got a bunch of stuff. So come out and visit with us and then go get their stuff.
Yeah, we don't have any fried chicken or anything like that on our tables, but there are people who have fried chicken, Sean.
This is a good thing.
Yeah.
We are at the Mobile Convention Center. I think it's a nominal fee to get in. It's $5, I think, something like that.
It's not enough because I see some people drifting around in here that I'm like, I think they're getting their groceries for the week here.
Well, you could do that. The same people that will show up at one of the big box stores over the weekend to get samples or here getting samples.
I'm not going to talk those people down. I enjoy
because
that.
You are those
I am
people.
That guy, I like put one item in and roll around for a while.
Now, we're going to talk about this because as we're here with a bunch of people in small business, kind of odd thing is you and I are both in media and we are both locally owned companies, which is a small business by definition, especially among the behemoths in broadcasting. But so many small businesses still doing great work in this town,
small business in Mobile particularly is a really the cloth of what the town is like. I mean, in a lot of ways, we're not a big business town for the most part. I mean, there are some very big businesses here, but by and large, it's you don't look at Mobile and say, oh, that's the banking town as much or that kind of thing. Obviously now, building airplanes and some of those things, and ships. But I mean, the vast majority of us work small business in Mobile.
And it's a good chance for you to get out and network with those people here today, and while you're at it, get some huggers and fried chicken.
Get as many huggers as you can get. Yes, absolutely.
All right, so,
load up.
You know, we did not get a chance to talk this morning because you're busy down here, I know, but I've really been wanting to talk to you since what happened on Tuesday at the Mobile City Council meeting, and I get your take on the 4-3 vote in opposition to the letter of intent for the city to give the $10 million to South and the $2.5 million back to the city.
I mean, My personal feeling about it is that I think it's the best thing that probably could happen for the city right now. I don't think, as I've said, I don't necessarily think that the money that we needed to give South $10 million. I don't. I think that the mayor has a desire to get rid of Ladd, and I think that makes a lot of sense. I don't think the concept of having two football stadiums makes very much sense, but the way this thing was rolling, it was going to turn into $10 million for South, and then we need $10 million over here for, you know, we're going to redirect all these monies to two different communities, and, you know, if we're going to have to redo things in Hillsdale and redo things in Maysville, I still don't get why Hillsdale was going to be negatively impacted by a stadium, but
So the argument was, if people didn't keep up with that, it was $10 million to mitigate Ladd essentially leaving, even though it wasn't, and it was $10 million for at least, and this, you know, Councilwoman Gina Gregory said she didn't ask for it specifically, but this discussion of $10 million for Hillsdale to mitigate the arrival of the stadium.
Right.
I mean,
I don't get
one of them doesn't fit.
It doesn't make sense to me, but, you know, I think in the end that we'll build, you know, South's going to build their stadium. I think the Senior Bowl, Dollar General Bowl are going to go over there and play. I feel
whether
pretty certain.
City has any play or not, there will be a new stadium built at South, and the Senior Bowl and Dollar General Bowl will go there.
I think that's going to happen.
Is that your
I think
attention?
So, yes. Okay. I think that's going to happen. And so, you know, at that point, and this is the problem, is people can't divorce the Senior Bowl and Dollar General Bowl leaving from Ladd, and that there's this thought process that if Ladd is there, that it's going to keep these things, that it's going to keep those things there at Ladd. And I don't think that's going to happen, you know. And there are some people that are involved in it who really have basically said they want to compete with South to keep those games. And
yeah,
I think
how does that? I mean, I'm not trying to be mean here, but how is that possible? Whatever the brand new stadium is, it's a brand new stadium.
Yeah, and I mean, there's also a lot of talk now of getting some other events out at Ladd and trying to make that a go. And so we'll see. I mean, as one of the council members told me yesterday, he said, well, you know, we're going to have an event out at one of the games out at Ladd in September. I can't remember which. It's a classic of some sort going on out there. And I think the Fifth Quarter Classic is what it is. His belief was, you know, hey, it's going to sell out or come close to selling out. So we'll see. You know, I mean, is there if there are opportunities out there to have games that draw 25, 30,000 people, then, you know, or even 20,000 people, that's great. You know, then maybe Ladd does have that opportunity. But
you know, I'm
a little dubious that that's going to happen over time.
Well, and you know, I've heard some of the discussion from a couple people in the know, should be in the know for Ladd, that told me that, hey, they have been putting money back. They're in a scenario where they can survive, even with level funding from the city, they can survive for 2 or 3 years on the money that they have put back. Also heard, I think it was Ann Davis talking about grant money possible for Ladd Stadium. Now, I'm a simple guy. I didn't know that there. I mean, I know there's federal grant, but, you know, the guy with all the question marks on his clothes who told me there's grant money for everything. I did not know there was grant money for aging stadium infrastructure, but that's interesting. We should have been pursuing that before, but if it's out there.
You know, I think the big
thing.
I just
don't know what kind of grant. What department does that come from?
I don't know. I think the big thing we need to do, honestly, at this point is take a step back with that, and they really ought to do a study on the, you know, what it needs, what it's going to need, you know, do an actual engineering study on it.
That number gets thrown around. It was $33 million.
Right.
It's $7 million.
I think we need to have an independent study done on it and just says, this is what it's going to cost. You know, hire somebody to go out there that really can do this work and figure out what it needs now, what it's going to need over the course of 20 years. It's going to be a 90-year-old stadium at the end of 20 years. I personally believe it's going to cost more money than it's worth to keep it. But, you know, maybe I'll be wrong. But
well, I mean, that's the thing, too, that, you know, I go back to this analogy, this tired old tome here, but I remember early on in the first Stimson administration taking office, it might have been in the spring of that first year, and they were talking about replacing a bunch of cruisers, MPD was. And I started in with my, you know, why are you spending money, blah, 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 blah. Then, now public safety director, but then Police Chief Barber came in and brought the books to me and showed me what it cost to keep those vehicles up every year once they hit 200,000 miles plus. And it was actually more money down at the auto pool and at the shop, right, than it was to service debt on brand new vehicles.
Yeah, I mean, I don't know. I don't know off the top of my head.
That gave me an eye. I don't know that this applies to LAD.
I don't know what off the top of my head what it is out at the Civic Center, but it's a tremendous amount of money to keep the Civic Center going every year.
And that's,
you know, and so, you know, there's the, you know, an example of what you're doing. You know, they're saying, look, we're going to get rid of the Civic Center here, and we got a plan for it. I think that's the big idea, you know, as I wrote in a column last week, is, you know, at the end of a couple of years, we've got a lightly used Civic Center, a lightly used 40,000-seat football stadium, and an unused baseball stadium.
Yeah.
At this point, we're staring at those things right ahead. And so what do? You got to figure something out down the line. It's not just – I think there's a lot of – there have been a lot of politics involved in it. There's been some personal irritations between the council and the mayor and all those things. I think that's where a lot of it went.
All right, let's do this. Coming right back, more from the Small Business Expo. It's Rob Holbert with Lanyap. He's down here with obviously copies of Lanyap and some huggers, but he's nearby the fried chicken, and he'll point you in the right direction.
Yeah. You don't really need to be pointed. You can smell it.
All right, good deal. We are at the Mobile Convention Center. Come see us. Be here till 3 o'clock today's show until noon.
This is Midday Mobile with Sean Sullivan on FM Talk 106.5.
All right, welcome back. FM Talk 106.5, and it's Mobile or Midday Mobile on this. What do we call this day? Thursday?
All day.
All right, Thursday all day. My buddy Rob Holbert from Lanyap's here. Hey, listen, we're busy during the breaks because we're visiting with lots of folks who come out here to the Small Business Expo at the Convention Center. And come on in. I think it's $5, nominal fee. Come on in and tour around, check everything out. And then when you're here, make sure to pick up the fried chicken and the copy, new copy of Lanyap.
Yep, you can get that. And there's they're not at the same booth.
No, but it would be nice to combine.
You could actually wrap any chicken that was left over in Lanyap after you've read it, or before, if you don't mind reading a greasy paper.
I like that. Yeah. Let's talk about that, because you mentioned going into the break, you mentioned about the Civic Center.
Yeah.
So here's the story. It's back again. Civic Center could be sold. Not a new story.
No.
I mean, it's been up before. They had, you know, lots of folks that showed up to make their voices heard. I remember a couple of years ago, and the mayor had to hear that. And he said, okay, I've heard their voices. We're not going to try to sell it right now. Now it's back. But this goes back to the aging infrastructure issues for the city of Mobile.
Yeah, it does. And you know, one of the big differences, they've made very clear that whatever they build out there will have a permanent home for Mardi Gras out there.
Right.
So that's one of the things they said. And I think that's, you know, both of these issues, I think you look at it and say, what happened? Why didn't they come to pass? The you know, Civic Center issue a couple of years ago and LAD at this point. And people jumped up and said, no, we can't do this. We've got to have, you know, we need Mardi Gras. We need a place for Mardi Gras. We need this. Or this is where Elvis played and Bear Bryant coached. And we've got,
With Mardi Gras, can't you make a direct, I mean, the same way they did with LAD when you're talking about Senior Bowl and Dollar General, economic incentive for the city, right? It's economic engine.
No.
And you can argue that Mardi Gras, I think you can fairly argue, Mardi Gras is a big moneymaker for the city of Mobile.
Absolutely. There's
just
no
in
doubt.
Parking tickets.
Yeah.
You know, but I mean, this is a big deal. Yeah. But the question is, if you change anything, do you screw the whole thing up? But can you keep it on with not changing anything and servicing
I don't know why it would screw it up if you can put a place there that's going to facilitate the Mardi Gras balls. I mean, that's really what it's about. And so, you know, if they can do that, why? What's it going to hurt? You know, and it may be a year off. You know, maybe say, hey, okay, this one year while we're building this thing, you're going to have to do it somewhere else. But, you know, once it's built, it seems to me that easily put it back the way it is.
Okay. Well, okay. The idea is you're going to leave things as they are. You're going to change things. Mardi Gras will be there. But the problem is, when you talk about getting rid of the Civic Center, it's not like going on, you know, and saying, hey, I got a Schwinn 10 speed. First person by my house can come by and pick it up. If I remember correctly, the last time we discussed this, essentially, and this is not literal, but nobody would buy it for a dollar.
Yeah. Well, I mean,
would buy the Civic Center for a dollar with the encumbrances that we're talking about.
Yeah, I don't know. You know, again, they put it back out just the other day, said, hey, we're going to do this. And, you know, so obviously, you got to find somebody who's a taker. There's 22 acres out there that that they can develop. So there's opportunity.
But in the parking, right, if you're going to develop something, but isn't part of the whole what's at play here is you have, acres and acres of parking.
No, you can do parking decks. You can do other things like that. I would assume that anybody who's going to take on that venture is going to have some ideas for it. Obviously, we can keep doing what we're doing.
Right.
We can just keep it going until it just falls down. It's not ever going to be, I think, the kind of civic center that we need to have in town. We're not going to attract a lot of the same things that we probably would want. We don't get a lot of the big shows. We don't get a lot of things like that. And I think that's part of the problem.
Well, yeah, sure. We have on occasion, hit a big. I remember, the last time this was discussed.
Right.
I remember right.
Right.
The last time, and if I'm wrong on the timeline, somebody on the text line will let me know right away. But if I remember last time this was discussed, it wasn't long after that I had my my daughter and my wife and my mother out at Elton John
right.
at the Civic Center. Did it happen?
Yes. It was exactly the last time this was discussed. There was all of a sudden a slew of big shows just showed up, and they really haven't been that many. But it was. There was just all of a sudden. Yes, we've got a bunch of shows out here. See, there are shows.
Happens after that? Why wouldn't you keep it up?
I don't know. I don't know what goes on out there in terms of why. I don't know. I'm not saying they're not trying to do it.
Yeah,
I'm sure they are. They're trying to do it. I don't know that they're what. There's always the talk of, well, you got New Orleans, you got Pensacola. They jump over us. Now they go to the casinos, and they jump over us to go to Pensacola. I don't know if it's just not if attendance isn't great or what it is. But
So, with that being said, so somebody else comes in, some player comes in to take it for a dollar, operate it here. Is there any model like that? Because I'm thinking, Birmingham, Lord knows I don't want us to model ourselves after Birmingham, but they just put more city money in Legion Field and other programs like this. Are there municipalities, is this a thing happening where they divest themselves? I like the idea of government divesting itself of things that aren't crucial. I don't mean public parks, because I still think that's part of quality of life and those kind of things, but running stadiums, running convention centers, running civic centers.
Yeah. To me, it makes a lot of sense.
If you can get out of it.
When I was up in Atlanta, I guess, looking at, like I said recently, they built, in the last 26 years, built two football stadiums and two baseball stadiums, and, for about $2.2 billion or something like that.
Right.
And there's some, definitely, there's some private money in some of that. There's also a lot of... there's also a lot of local money, a lot of tax money.
Right.
I would be surprised if we can get into something out at a mixed use type thing out at the, where the Civic Center is, without there being some mix of both. It'll be hard, I would imagine.
Now, just look at this footprint. You laid it out, Rob. You talk about Ladd. You talk about the Hank. You talk about the Civic Center. You talk about these structures. These aren't just fields.
Mm-hmm.
These aren't just open spaces like parks. I know parks have infrastructure as well, which has been a big turnaround in the city, what's being done with our parks. But these things are not only owned by the public, they require constant maintenance.
Yes. And
if they're getting filled up and making money, then great. But can you do that? Can you do that with one, two, three and a half kind of structures here in town?
It's tough, man. It's not, I think that's the... the mayor's looking at those things in the big picture and saying, we've got to do something about this because, again, 20 years down the road for Mobile, you got a 90-year-old Ladd People Stadium. You got however old the Civic Center was built, early 60s, I think?
Right.
And so, it's going to be in the 70s at that point if we don't do something with it. It is a matter of, even if the city is involved in building some of that stuff out there, if they are, and somebody else is running it, but there's still some city money that goes into it, you're probably still better off than you are just trying to outright own this thing and have the constant maintenance you have out there.
Right.
And we got to find out what's going to go wrong with Ladd. What does it need at this point? You know, there's people who say, well, there's nowhere near that kind of money that it needs. You know, it doesn't need $30 million over 20 years. It just needs a couple million bucks, and it'll be a showplace. And
that's the thing, too. So I get people tell me the same thing, and then I hear people tell me it's $33 million. I'm not in this business to be able to ascertain which one is right.
I'm not either.
Guessing somewhere
I don't
in the middle.
Know. You know, there's obviously unhappiness with the study that the mayor presented, and you know, I guess was more of a guesstimation really than an actual sit down and go through the nuts and bolts of everything. But you know, the people who say for just a couple million bucks it'll be a showplace have offered zero evidence of that too. You know, I mean, that's just something people say, and it's like, okay, I don't. What evidence is there of that? And when you ask them, well, we don't really know what it's going to cost to make LAD better. But you know, yeah, you can pour money into it, but is that a smart move?
Well, you know, if it is cheaper, this is the thing that I don't know. And like you said, I don't understand if it's cheaper to fix what you got or get something new.
Yeah. Well, it's
and that something new could be smaller. Could be for different, you know, for instead of having the number of seats and all those things, you already have the field there. But once again, obviously, for a variety of reasons, at least the majority of the city council said it was not worth the city being invested in it. You said that from way back. You said you questioned why the city would get involved.
Well, I just don't see a reason to put the money into it. I mean, if South truly needed that money to build it, if they truly were not going to build the stadium without city money, I think it makes sense. But you know, and I love South, and I think they're obviously a huge, important part of the community, but I think they're going to build that stadium without $10 million worth of city money.
There you go. I think we're going to be talking about this a lot going forward. Y'all stop by and see Rob, actually the whole crew from Lanyap, when you stop by the Small Business Expo, and then and I go get fried chicken?
That's right.
All right, let's get some chicken.
Let's do it.
Y'all stay right here. Coming right back, more of Midday Mobile on FM Talk 106.5.
This is Midday Mobile with Sean Sullivan on FM Talk 106.5.
Hey, welcome back. FM Talk 106.5 and Midday Mobile on this Thursday live from the Small Business Expo going on at the Mobile Convention Center. Glad to have you here. And what we'll do here is, number one, get you FM Talk 106.5 huggers. And like we said earlier, Rob said we didn't have food items. We do. We have peppermints here, but we don't have anything other than that. No fried chicken, but it's nearby. All right, I want to get into a conversation here, and this is interesting. As we talking this morning, it's weird. Two things. We'll figure this out. You can just pull that off your ear. I don't know why you can't hear. Just if you'll pull one side, one ear off there, and that way you can hear me. If you can, you can hear me that way. I don't know why you can't hear me at all. This is what happens in live radio. I tell you what, Dalton, if you'll help them get their headsets on, because I can't do this while I'm doing the show. They can't hear for some reason on those headsets. So for some reason, something is not working out correctly. I tell you what, but we're going to introduce here in just a second J.R. Smith of the Guns to Hammers program. He's in town to do a renovation assessment of the Disabled American Veterans Commandant Dave Riley's home in Sims. And actually, you met with him today already. Is that correct?
Yes, I did.
And but first of all, welcome to the show. Thanks for being here, and welcome to Mobile.
Thanks for having us here.
And so Guns to Hammers, your program, what do you do?
Yeah, so we're a veteran support group. Okay. We go into homes with wounded veterans in wheelchairs, and we basically make their houses and their homes wheelchair compliant, ADA compliant, so they can get some of their independence back, showering, stuff like that. Right now, the burden is on their spouse and other family members, and these guys want and gals want their independence back.
And you're giving it back to them.
Absolutely.
Well, it's fantastic. I said it's odd because this morning we were talking about another program. You're not from here. You're from Houston.
Yep.
I had Ricky Rackman, who out of California and North Carolina, coming through as well. Two national folks coming through our area helping out veterans right now, and we love it. So y'all keep coming. David Calmetti, another local like me, is here as well. Talk about this program and getting this program here to our area.
Well, it really is. It's because of Dave Riley in this area. Dave, as you've mentioned, is a wounded vet, but he's an incredible story, transformational story. After his accident and his service, he's transformed himself into this caring volunteer. He realized his mission was to help other vets. So he just finished serving his time as commandant of the Disabled American Veterans Organization, DAV.
And he's helping out other...
He's helping other veterans. He testified before Congress. He's now the chairman of the board of that organization. And he's just this the most positive guy you'll ever meet. So the opportunity through the veterans organization that I'm closely affiliated with, which is AHERO, and that stands for American Heroes Enjoying Recreation Outdoors.
Okay.
That group, the mission with that is to take PTSD and disabled vets and create bonding opportunities for them to get them out and create that sense of community that they had in the military that often is lost.
Right.
And the whole purpose is fighting veteran suicide.
Yeah.
So that's an element that organization is fighting. And with
those stats are chilling. We talk about the stats, the number of our veterans.
23 a day?
Yeah.
22 a day.
Yeah.
And, of course, the missions overlap.
Right.
You know,
one begets the other one. Giving more mobility, giving a...
Exactly. So it's hard to find a disabled veteran does not have some sort of trauma. Mm-hmm. So pretty much them all, whether they want to admit to it or not, are suffering from post-traumatic, stress. And so our outreach program is to find them and go into their homes and we want them to reach out to us. We're aligning ourselves with businesses and industries around the country who are supporting our foundation. Our latest road trip I was telling you about off air was a very exciting one. And this is just one little industry of many we're going after over the next over the coming years. But this one was actually the beer industry.
I like that industry. That's good.
We love it. In Texas, we definitely drink a lot of beer.
Right.
But so what we did was we traveled around the country. I've got this old Jeep we call Gunny. It's a restored Jeep. Myself and another Marine, we traveled from Texas to the East Coast. We came through Mobile earlier on this year, out to the West Coast, and then over to the East Coast, and then we crossed the country from there all the way over to California through Denver. And the mission of this trip was to collaborate and form partnerships with local microbreweries that are interested in brewing their own personal recipe of a Guns to Hammers ale. And when doing so, obviously they many of these are veteran-owned breweries. Not mm-hmm. not everybody has to be veteran-owned. Veteran-friendly is all we ask.
Right.
And just sell the beer for a couple bucks more per pint or a dollar per pint, and then on the honor system, hit our PayPal once a month. And I'm telling you, it was a huge success. We signed up 15 breweries. We're literally dealing with thousands of pints a month right now coming to us through our road trip. Was a result of the road trip.
You're going and just saying, hey, here's what we're doing.
Mm-hmm.
Here's how you're already doing brewery. You're already brewing beer.
Yep.
You don't have to reinvent the wheel. Just
We've got they're all calling their beer something separate. And it's not all the Guns to Hammers beer. We've got one in a couple in Texas that are one's calling it the Foxtrot, very military themed.
Right.
One's called the Jack Hammer. Jack Hammer is our little English bulldog mascot. He lives with me. He goes to most of our events, and he's called the Jack Hammer.
Okay.
And then we've got the Guns to Hammers IPA that's going on in California. We've got a couple breweries going on in Denver, and the list goes on. And our goal is to continue to grow the microbrewery. We would love to find one here in Mobile.
Yes. So I know they're most likely they're either listening live or they'll listen on the podcast. A couple of y'all I'm talking to right now. Here's your opportunity. Which, by the way, too, if they're riding down the road or whatever, if they're going to Google something, just Google Guns to Hammers. Yeah. Or what's the best way to
Guns to Hammers Construction.
Okay.
They'll see us. Now our website is kind of a work in progress. Much of our work is posted on Facebook. Guns to Hammers Construction. They can see everything we've done. We've literally had so much success. We've had awesome communities have taken us in, like Mobile, and have allowed us to be on their radio and their TV stations around the country. And we've literally been on news stations around the entire country, explaining what we do, what we're about, and that we are not. My view on this whole thing is very similar to the the PTSD thing, I feel like we have a new generation now of POWs. These guys have been left behind right here at home by our own government and our own VA. Now, I'm not here to bash the VA.
Well,
because,
I was about to ask you that, because, I mean, I'm so happy that folks like you are doing what you're doing, JR, yeah, and others, but it does beg the question. We went through the fiasco some years ago with this.
Mm-hmm.
A lot of Americans then say, well, we must have fixed it by now.
No. So the VA do what they can do. They're obviously limited by government funds. There's also a lot of red tape and bureaucracy that anybody has to go through in order to achieve any to receive any benefits. And I promise you, there's thousands of people listening to me right now say, yep, no, that's true. So what we're trying to do is trying to simplify the process. Hopefully, you know, our government, the VA, can get their stuff together. We can get some grants. We're in the process right now of trying to get a grant, a bill pushed through Congress. That's a whole separate other story, but we're very much an integral part of that bill, and
good,
we're trying to get it pushed through. But in the meantime, I rely on local industry,
right,
local companies. There is no company, there is no service, there is nobody in business that cannot contribute to our cause. Give us a quarter of transaction, a nickel of transaction. Ask your customers, they'll round up to the next dollar like you just do sometimes in
sure,
for other various charitable groups. Obviously, we're looking for microbreweries, but that's just the tip. We're going after national food chains. We want to reach out to national food chains and say, please give us one item on your menu. Let's call it the sergeant or the gunny or something.
Or jackhammer.
Yeah, or jackhammer. Right.
You know, they also have the opportunity to do coffee shops and coffee brews. So, you know, if they're
that's where we're promoting this morning. Yeah.
There's a local business that might have those connections on both sides.
All right, let's do this. Well, we're up against the... I tell you what, hold off the break just for a second back in the studio, because I do want to talk about this. Also, what's going on over in Pensacola. And you got my attention when you're talking about vets and you're talking about fishing, David. I mean, these are things I'm positive about.
This is
yes,
the annual warrior hookup. And they fly in vets. A-Hero flies in vets from around the country. They'll have a welcome aboard tonight, an event at the Grand Marlin, and then tomorrow morning at 8, all these huge boats. Have you heard of the Breathe Easy?
Oh, absolutely.
So
I'm calling their name out when it comes to the Blue Marlin Grand Championship.
So sure, the Breathe Easy will leads the Armada out fishing, and these vets will spend the day fishing. They'll come back in, and they'll cook their catch in the evening.
Oh,
so it's a whole bonding.
And these are vets from around the country.
Vets around the country, PTSD, disabled. And they'll have it's a bonding experience. So they'll
sure,
have a campfire, scene and those kind of things. And it's just the most warming and gratifying experience and moving experience for these vets to finally feel a sense of connection. And those bonds last. I read a stat the other day. A-Hero has put
that's
about
letter A H E
A Hero. American yeah, Heroes Enjoying Recreation Outdoors.
Okay.
A-Hero has had about 1,000 vets go through their program, and they've only lost 2. So compared to
the stats you just said, JR, yeah, I mean, I think
exactly.
It's a remarkable. It's that one-on-one, that personal bonding touch.
The key
and it's 100% focused, because A-Hero, just like Guns to Hammers, is 100% volunteer,
yep,
driven. There are no big salaries. There's no big overhead. It's focusing on the vet.
And that's really how all this thing started was, you know, I have a construction company in Houston, and over the last 5 years, we started getting a lot of calls from these guys in wheelchairs needed ADA bathrooms built. And they were all telling me the same thing, like, hey, all it needs an estimate to turn into the VA, and, you know, the check would be cut. Well, in 24 months, we went on 53 calls, and not one was funded. So it was at that point in time,
that's
I said,
shame.
You know what, enough's enough. We do have it's powerful words to say a new generation of POWs, but I'm telling you, it's the truth, because these people are being left at home to deal with their injuries, depression and you know, obviously physical injuries as well.
Sure.
It's not just mental injuries, and I don't know how anyone can come home and even begin to heal and move on with their lives with when they can't even establish their own independence. So Our two foundations really do, we think the same way, the same fire drives us both. I'm out here to support A-Hero this week. They were a tremendous help during our Coast to Coast fundraiser this year. They helped us raise a lot of money. They're in Pensacola. Pensacola Bay Brewery there is brewing a Guns to Hammers beer. It's a veteran-owned brewery. And so, you know, the whole thing, it just feels right, and it's taken on a life of its own now. And that's when you know you're doing the right thing.
Right.
Because at the beginning, we were knocking down doors. Now doors are opening.
Right.
If you let the American people, I believe this to be true, my experience all over this, JR, is if you let the American people know that there's a need for veterans, if they know it, they will step up.
Absolutely. You know, I can tell you firsthand, I got to do one of the greatest things that anyone ever would get to do. It's the most patriotic thing in America. I drove around the entire country in a red, white, and blue Jeep.
It's pretty strong.
Okay.
With a dog, right?
And I didn't take Jaghammer okay, on that trip. No. I went with my best friend. We joined the Marine Corps together back in 88. But we're flying our flag around, and of course, we're traveling around the entire country. And the coolest thing about that trip, it did not matter if we were in a red state or a blue state. We were getting thumbs up. That is one common denominator for all colors, creeds, political. It doesn't matter.
I think you do what you're doing. You let people know, and people will step up to help if you let people know. And
absolutely,
you're doing it, and it's going to be fun if I get to drink a beer while I help. JR, that kind of helps get me in on this. Once again, the website?
It's gunstohammers.com or gunstohammers.org.
All right. You're very good. And we'll put this up on our social media pages as well and link it through.
Wonderful.
And next time you come back through, we'll have to be drinking of Guns to Hammers beer right here in Mobile.
Would love to find a brewer. So anybody out there, let's get going.
We'll drink beer and talk Jeeps and dogs.
Oh, yeah. Now you're talking. I'll bring Jackhammer next time.
Good deal. JR, David, thank you.
Thanks, Sean.
We're coming right back. More from right here at the Small Business Expo. This is Midday Mobile on FM Talk 106.5. We'll put those links up on our site as well. And, of course, a big thank you to JR and all for their service, which, by the way, I know y'all are laughing out there. This is the most marine dense radio station that is probably exists in this country, but we like that. We'll keep it going that way. Coming right back right here on FM Talk 106.5.
This is Midday Mobile with Sean Sullivan on FM Talk 106.5.
All right, welcome back. FM Talk 106.5 and Midday Mobile live from the Small Business Expo. Be doing the show till 2 o'clock. Of course, we'll be here till 3. And by the way, at that point, the FM Talk 106.5 Mobile Command Unit moves to its next stop. And I want to mention that, too, because it's a combination of things. Number one, just got done talking to JR from Guns to Hammers, and you've got an event coming up tonight at a craft brewery at Serta's right there on Government Street. You also take in the folks at Serta's along with the friends of FM Talk 106.5 at Cottage Hill Package and Havana Ray's Cigar Lounge. They're bringing some great cigars out to the event tonight. So, oh, yeah. And it's my buddy Pete Ream, and of course Mark Holliday and their show, Common Sense Campaign. And that radio show airs tonight from 8 to 9, live from Serta's here on FM Talk 106.5. But the event starts at 6 tonight. So Serta's on Government Street. You'll see the FM Talk 106.5 Mobile Command Unit. They're there. Stop by and grab a beer, grab a cigar, grab a visit with the folks. And, of course, another veteran, Pete, of course, a veteran of the Navy. And stop by and talk with them. That starts at 6, and they go on the air at 8 o'clock tonight live from Serta's, along with our friends from Cottage Hill Package. Now, if you can't make it out there tonight, you want to check out that great selection of craft beer. You can always do that at the shop at Cottage Hill Package, the corner of Cottage Hill and Hillcrest. Check them out online, cottagehillpackage.com, and find them on Facebook as well. But, yeah, tonight, the Manus Boys, thank you, are teaming up with the folks from Serta's. Thank you, John. And the Common Sense Campaign radio show. They will be doing the show once again live from Serta's. This is the first time for Common Sense to do a live program, so I'm fired up for them. That way, I don't have to do the show. I can just sit out in the audience and heckle and drink beer, so I'm going to be doing that tonight from 8 to 9, but the event starts at 6, so we'll see you out there. All right, coming up next hour, I think I put the story up. I did. I put the link up earlier today on my Twitter feed at FM Talk 106.5. So, This is of course, working off of what we talked about yesterday, a bad day for President Trump, and is it a bad enough day for impeachment? You know, this is something that not even the Democrats are asking for. I mean, Nancy Pelosi not even asking for this. But, hey, and Pete, we're going to get you on, get a headset on him, but not even asking for impeachment. But a guy who does a show just like I do up in Huntsville, who's been on with us a couple times, writes for Yellowhammer News. Dale Jackson is saying it's time for President Trump to resign. On impeachment resignation. He's going to join us here in just about 5 minutes. We'll talk more about that. And I just mentioned it's like Candyman or whatever. I said his name three times. I look up and Pete Rehm is joining us here right at the Small Business Expo. You got a long day. I mean, you're going to do this show and then you got your show from 8 to 9.
That's right. We got a show 8 to 9. And
we
got
a party 6 to 9.
6 to 9 is a party at Serta's Brewery, 600 Government Street.
Right.
And our first ever remote live broadcast of Common Sense Radio. And it's partnered with, knock on a lot of wood. Yeah. And it's partnered with Havana Ray Cigar Lounge. So we're going to have beer, craft beer, fine cigars, all at Serta's Brewery, 600 Government Street. And you get to see how radio is made. What's better than that?
That's right. So come check it out in person tonight at Serta's or come see us right now at the Small Business Expo. We're coming right back. Thanks, Pete.